Good morning, everybody. How are y'all? Did you have a good week?
Yes.
Okay, so I would have got it. Thank you, but I would have got it. Thank you. So, So I bought you all a set of notes. Notes that we're going to go through today. So would you like them now or later? Okay. She says she wants hers now. Yes. And I'm going to give some over here. Thank y'all so much. It's just one page, yes. You need two? Yeah. Pepper. So we're going to pray, and we're going to get started. I need somebody to find Hebrews 12, 6 through 9. Yes. I'm sorry, Mr. Jim, 5 through 9. Okay. Father God, we thank you this morning for this Sunday school class. We thank you, Father, for everybody that sacrificed to come. And Father, as we begin to learn your word, Father, we just ask God that you will put that word inside of us. Lord, that when we leave here, that we can live it out, walk it out, and be a picture of who you are in the earth, Father. Lord, we thank you for your strength, your love, and your mercy this morning. Give us all understanding. Open our ears, our hearts, our whatever needs to be open, Father, that we can absorb this word into our spirit, man, God, so that we can become better people. Your picture of you in this earth, Father. Lord, we thank you for the word. We thank you, God, because you kept us all week long. And Father, it is a privilege and an honor this morning to serve and to worship and to even conversate about you. So, Lord, we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Mr. Jim, so what is our class about, y'all?
You're not alone.
Why? Because God is with me. Mr. Jim, can you read Hebrews 12, 5 through 9 for me, please? Can y'all hear him?
Okay, 5. And you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him.
Wait
a minute, that's my fault. That was
Hebrews 13. I said 12, didn't I?
Yes.
That's 13,
I'm sorry. That's my fault. Okay, I got that too. Okay, we're ready?
Yes.
Okay, make sure that your character is free from the love of money.
Yes.
Being content with what you have, for he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you, so that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be carried away by varied and strange teachings. For it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods, through which those who were so occupied were not benefited. We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the holy place by the high priest as an offering for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people through his own blood, suffered outside the gate. You want me to go on?
All right. So we are going to talk about this morning what we need. We talked about talked about we are not alone because God is with us. Today we're going to talk about what we need to make this process, because I don't want it to be, someone had made a comment last Sunday, I don't want it to be like you think I'm just throwing information out there and that it's we're reading it, but it's not attainable. Does that make sense? So I don't want you to think that it's not attainable, that you cannot do it. Anything that the Word of God told us, He has already equipped us because the Spirit of God is inside of us. And so with the Spirit of God being inside of us, we take the Word of God, we read it, we pray over it, and then the Spirit of God comes and rests upon us and open that up to us so that we understand so we can walk it out. We have to understand, we cannot do anything you don't understand. It cannot become yours if you don't understand it. It is just another scripture to you if you don't understand it. So what we're banking on is we will do as the scripture tells us, we will put the word in us, we will know what it says, and then we will by faith know that Jesus Christ will come along and rest on us and give us understanding, unveil it, and then He'll come and He'll give you the strength to walk it out. Now, understand, the strength to walk it out is by choice. He does not come and demand us. We walk with Him because we... Talk to me. We walk to Him because we love Him. So it's not a forced action. Some people... That's why I think sometimes people think that it's hard. Walking with God is not a hard. It's not hard unless you don't want to do it. And then if it's something that you don't want to do, then that's the issue that you have to take up with your own self to bring your mind where it's supposed to be. Does that make sense? Yes. You know, sometimes, y'all, we can be real about a lot of stuff except ourselves. So we have to be honest with our own self. Remember the other week when I said, can you sit alone with yourself and think? You know, when a problem, when a situation arises, can you really look at it from every angle? So that then God can give you a solution. But in that looking at every angle, y'all, we have to be honest with where we are, how we're feeling, even what we're thinking. You know why? Because your thinking pattern will determine your choice. And that's the things that we have to understand. The way we think, the way we feel about it. Even sometimes we have been taught things. We have been taught things that are in us that we think is God, but it is not. It is a person's opinion. What I bank on, what I want you to bank on, and we learn to bank on, is whatever God says in my situation, that is what I have to adhere to if I want the results, the godly results. I cannot bring anything to Him and tell Him to bless it. That's the way we'd be thinking, you know, well, just come to church and this will be fixed. Come, no, this is just a building. Where you need to go is to God. That's where you need to go, is to Him. And then when we get to Him, we have to understand quickly that I think sometimes we haven't been taught that when you got born again, you stepped out of the kingdom of darkness and you stepped into the kingdom of light. What we don't understand, there is a set of rules for kingdom of darkness. There's a set of rules for the kingdom of God. And so what we are doing is we are learning His way. What is the rules over here in the kingdom? Now, if you look at a natural kingdom, if you cannot go into a foreign land, say, I think the Bahamas, Nigeria, some parts of Africa still rule under that kingship rulership, if you know what I mean, and the laws and the orders. So if you step over into their kingdom and you don't know what you're doing, you're liable to get killed. Or put in jail because you're not adhering to their laws. So I cannot go over there and produce my own and act like I'm in the United States because I may not have the same freedom there. So I need to adhere, submit myself to the way they do things so I can get back home. Because if I don't do what they say, they may put me in jail again or it may take my life. They don't care what I think about it. They don't care what I feel about it. So that's the same way we have to come when we come to God. Lord, even the scripture says for me to do what? Humble myself under the word of God, under the hand of God, I think it says, to humble myself. So when we're going to the word of God, y'all, this is our instruction. So in our hearts, we must bow our hearts to say, Father, help me to do what you're asking me to do. Because right now, I might not feel that I'm capable, might not even know how to do it, but it is my responsibility. It is my responsibility that whatever I am facing, to get the information that I need, the correct information that I need, so that I can have the godly results. Because what I want God to do in my situation is to say, Faye, I agree with you. So therefore, I'm coming down and I'm going to make provision for you. I'm going to come in and I'm going to work this out, and my hand is going to move. And at the end, you're going to have a result. Now, you might not see my hand, but I'm moving. You see what I'm saying? And so what secures me in that place until God comes to do what he says he's going to do is that I believe him. Do I believe what his word say? Because sometimes we read the word of God, but do you believe it? Is that your basis? If that's your foundation? So that's the way we have to face life. Now, I know it might seem a little strict, but I'm just telling you, I've lost a lot of time doing what Faye wanted to do or what she thought. And I had to realize, honey, you got to find my way. But you know why we don't do that sometimes, y'all? Because we don't have the sudden result of it. You know what I'm saying? If you're going down the highway and you're speeding and you get a ticket, that's a sudden result. Because we don't have that, we think, okay, God, it's okay. It is your responsibility to keep your house in order, not nobody else's. It is your responsibility to keep you thinking and doing the right way. Yesterday when we left a Bible class we had, we went to eat, and the waitress came out and took our order. Can't eat cheese, can't eat tomatoes. So I assume, my daughter sitting over there, I assume she understood what I said when I said, don't put nothing on it but just the chicken and the bread and bring me some mayonnaise or whatever, but I can't eat the Alfredo, I can't eat the tomatoes, I can't eat the cheese. So John and them get, now y'all, we hungry. I mean, we hungry. You know, my daughter was like a little chat about, I'm hungry. I'm like, you ought to feed yourself, hush. But we was hungry. And so the food came, their food came, our food came. And guess whose food was not right? Guess whose sandwich was not right and had cheese, about a half an inch of cheese laying on top of it? And so, I'm being honest with you, I had to check myself real quick. Because I'm like, honey, I thought I said nothing. And she was a little nervous. So, I said, I really did. I had to be quiet. And I thought, Lord, they eating. And guess what John said? Just guess. Oh, it'll be all right. I guess it is all right. You got food sitting in front of you. I don't have any. I don't have any. And you proceeded to eat while I was sitting there. And so I just grabbed the toast and I ate. And I said, honey, it's all right. She said, we'll make it. I said, it's okay. So they went and they made it and they bought it back. By the time they got back, I thought, okay, everybody else going to be finished. The point was, in that moment, Faye, check your attitude. Check your attitude. Because you can't take out what the cook did on her. So check your attitude. Is it going to be okay if you just have to wait 10 more minutes? I didn't want to, but I have no choice. And I chose not to act ugly. You know how we can be kind of smart on the sly sometimes? I chose, no, I'm not going to do that. And my daughter made sure she had a wonderful tip, even though my food was not prepared right. And the little girl came back. She was nervous. I said, honey, it's okay. It's all right. I tried to put her at ease. Now, that was a choice. I had a right to say something because I had asked you. But then my daughter said this. She said, Mama, you didn't make it plain. You didn't say no cheese. So then what did that ball fall back into? My court. So that's why I'm saying we have to, even though we're not here, wherever we are, the word of God has to come up and it has to work. So let's get started. Okay. what we need, not what you want. What you want is something that you can do without or you cannot. A need is necessary for life, like food, clothes, and shelter. That is what we need to survive, to live, to stay alive. So I want somebody to do number one for me, if you'll read number one. Mr. Mike Duncan, can you read number one? You don't have one. Here. Lynn, can you come and get some of these? So if somebody come, please. Mr. Mike, will you read number one for me?
Ma'am, we need the word of God. Psalm 119:105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Instructions Jesus left for the man to show you the way, but you must know what is it.
Not think about, oh, I'm sorry. Oh, I think they had their hand up, Lynn. I thought she was had her hand up, too.
Do you have any more?
Yes, I do. Thank y'all. Here, I'm going to give you some more.
Thank you.
Thank you.
One more?
Oh, we got it, too.
Thank you.
Okay, so it says right here, to know. I want you to circle. If you got an ink pen, I want you to circle the word know. Here, let's give you that. Is that okay? We good? I want you to circle the word no. Later on, you can look up the word no. Romans 13 and 14. Now, this is just scriptures that you can write onto the side if you like or if you want them. Can somebody find John 14 and 6 for me, please? 14 and 6. When you got it, let me know. So thy word is a lamp unto my feet. What is a lamp for?
Light.
And a light unto my path. What is your path? Where you go, what you do, your journey. And I want y'all to relax because you know what? Walking with God is a journey. Day by day, moment by moment. So what we're doing is putting this in us so that through our journey, if we hit a hard place, what comes up in us first is what? What comes up in us first is, who said that? Y'all not talking to me. Y'all need some coffee? Yes. 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 So, I'm sorry. Yes. Okay, even yesterday in the situation that I had, what came up in me was to first faith check yourself. Check your attitude. Don't let nothing come out your mouth that is hurtful to someone else. Check your attitude. So as I'm walking, he's going to show me what to do, how to do. Does somebody have John 14 and 16, 6 yet? Who? Can you read, Mr. Jim? Loud. Yes.
Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me.
Yes. Romans 13. Did we just give you scripture to add to that if you want to go back and study it later? Romans 13 and 14 said, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for your flesh to fulfill the lust of it. Now, we're not dealing with the lust part. We're dealing with the make no provision for your flesh. Because you know what? The word of God can tell me what to do, but I can talk myself out of it if I let myself. I can even, if I have conversations with other people, even when we go and talk to other people, we need to be careful, y'all, that we give people godly counsel. And we're not giving them what we think and we feel. You know why? Because in the midst of that storm, your opinion don't count. What I need is something with weight. What I need is something that will get me through that place. And what will get me through that place is what God said. You know why? Because when I walk with him, he backs what he said. He does not leave me alone. So if I would bring myself under alignment with him and his word, then he will not leave me and he will not forsake me. Sometimes we feel like we are alone because what you have done is gave your own understanding to the situation. And we're waiting for God to come and to fix that. And he won't touch that because that's your flesh. I'm telling you, I've learned he won't touch it because that's your flesh and that's your opinion. What he honors is his word. And we have a responsibility to learn the word. Study to show thyself approved. Unto who? Unto who? But sometimes we want to make an approval unto man. But man can't fix my situation. Yes, ma'am. Yes. Yeah. You know, if I had a bill that came tomorrow that was, I don't know. It don't matter the amount. If I ain't got no money in the bank, I just ain't got nothing to cover. So, and that's the way it is with us. And what I have learned in my walk is, Faye, I need you to study what my word. That's why you need time with me every day. You need devotion with me every day. You need prayer with me every day so that the word that I'm speaking to you, I can come and soften your heart with it. We can open the door so the Spirit of God can come in. If I have a need, what I'm trying to say is we need to pour the word in us because when the time is necessary, we need that word to rise up and remind us of who we are. Not that you have to do anything about it, but just who you are. I'm God's child, so if I'm his child and the word of God is in me, then what he's going to do is he's going to come because he said he'd never leave me or forsake me. But if there's nothing in there, you have nothing to withdraw. You know what? You can tell, and most companies too, you can tell a person, you can tell me one or two times you don't know. And most of the time, people will say, okay, come, let me show you. Let me show you how to do this. If you don't know how to make copies, how to do this, how to do that. But you're not going to get away with that three or four or five times that you don't know how to make copies and somebody done showed you. You see what I'm saying? The thing is that you're either lazy or you don't want to make no copies. So which one is it? I mean, I'm being serious. I know it might sound funny, but I'm being serious. I'm talking about us now. We're looking at us, y'all. We're looking at us. Number two, we need to learn the word of God. That goes back to the word knowing in number one. We need to learn the word of God. 2 Peter 3:18 said, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Hosea, you can add this to your list because I don't think I gave it to you. Hosea 4:6 said this. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because thou hast rejected knowledge. My people now, his people, for lack of knowledge because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of God, I will also forget thy children. Now, I know that's under Old Testament. And I know in the New Testament, God gives us grace and mercy. But I don't, to my understanding, God didn't change his position of who he was from the old to the new. He just came over to the new and gave you some mercy so you wouldn't die so often in the old, like they did in the old. What is the truth? I'm telling you the truth. He just came and gave us mercy and grace. But, y'all, we have to come to a mindset that we don't abuse the mercy and the grace. It is there because you need it. Actually, mercy and grace, it can restrain you from doing certain things if you will listen. And I know some of you saying, Ms. Faye, you're doing away with all of our excuses. Yes, I am doing away with our excuses. Our excuses. I had a thought this morning about our children and how in the home with saved parents, I wonder how some children get to where they're grown or middle age or whatever, and I know there's a cycle of life that's going on there too, but how they reject God and they no longer want him. And I wonder, is that because what the picture they have seen from parents to raise them, to rear them, was not the correct picture because we would not allow ourselves to be aligned with God's word. We talked about him. We talked about him. We sent him to church. We sent him to Vacation Bible School. But what did they see? Did they really see? You see what I'm saying? Did they really see a picture of who God was? Now, I'm not saying they didn't. I'm just saying in my mind, I thought, even with our marriages, y'all, even when I, with everything that we do, what do people really see that we're doing? Because we should be a picture of who he is. My cousin told me he came to live with us when he was, I don't know, teenagers, many years ago. And he said to me, he said, you know, that was my mom. He said, my Aunt Jo, he didn't believe in God, didn't whatever. He said, but he watched my mama. Now, none of us knew he was doing this. But he watched my mama so until he said, she made me believe there was a God. The way she lived made me believe that there was a God. Even though his mom and dad didn't take him to church, just by watching her, he saw a picture of who God was. I said, Jerry, I didn't know that. He said, yes, ma'am. He said, I think about it to this day. That to him, she was, if he even understood the word God, was what he saw, how he saw her live and walk and treat people and love my dad and take care of us. And I said, what an awesome testimony. And that's what we're trying to get. Listen, whatever state you are in right now, it does not matter because you can get out of that. There is hope. But going forward, what we want to do is give our very best to God, our excellence to him. We don't serve him passively. I'm just coming to church this morning because I'm coming. No, when I come because I want a deposit of some kind, whether that's from the praise and worship, from that is, and I know that's just what they're doing. I want some deposit from the Spirit of God left in me when I walk out those doors over there to go home. That's what I want. Something that I chew on through the week. Something that I think about through the week. When Pastor Terry was preaching the other Sunday and he said, I hadn't heard this in years, when he talked about the fake brethren among you, that thing struck me. It struck me because I thought, Lord, fake people are among us that's pretending to be brothers and sisters and that's not? How could you even do that? You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm thinking. But this generation is different because when I grew up, people didn't play with God. People didn't go to, they didn't go to church in any time. They respected God. They respected him. So that's why I looked at things a little bit different to say, Lord, what is going on? But it's just the Bible fulfilling, that's all. But in this, with the time fulfilling, y'all, God, we want him to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to put him on. We want to clothe ourselves with him, especially our hearts. Hosea 4:6-6 said this, for I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. In other words, I want your mercy, but I also need the knowledge of God. I want to drive that home because in our knowledge is how we know. Again, you cannot do what you don't know. Proverbs 1:7 said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. To acknowledge that there is a God. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. All I can say is, who are you? That's all I'm going to say. Proverbs 19:2 says, also that the soul be without knowledge is not good. and he that hasteneth with his feet sinneth. What does it mean to you when it says that the soul be without knowledge? What is the soul? And desires. So in my mind, my will, and my emotions, what did he tell me to do with my mind? What did he tell me? What did the word of God tell me to do with my mind? Renew it. What did he tell me to do with my will? Submit it under his hand. The mighty hand of God is like the fivefold ministry. The pastor, the prophet, the evangelist, the teacher. I left out one. Who is it? The pastor, the prophet, the evangelist, the teacher, and the apostle. Humble myself under those teachings. Humble myself under the true word of God that they're bringing. Sometimes we come to church and the word of God be preached and it might cut us a little bit, or it might, what we call, step on our toes, and we get mad at the person. That's just a mailman. So you can't get mad at him. Your problem is not with him. It is what the word said that struck something in you. So I would share with you that when something strikes something within you, don't tell nobody. Just make you a little note, and in your private time, you and God talk about it. That's how we're growing, and we're good. Don't get in an argument against somebody else. It's not about them. So we have to grow, and we have to keep going, and we have to get moving, but we have to deal with that soul. Because I'm not careful. What you do is what's in you, whatever that is. But the Spirit of God, he came in to temper that soul. There's nothing in that mind, will, emotion, and desires that he cannot bring under control if you will submit it to him and surrender it to him. Nothing. Nothing. So you have hope and you have no excuse. It is just a matter of thinking. Think about your own self. My will. Lord, do I love you? Do I love you enough to follow you? Do I love you enough to obey you? Do I love you enough just to set me aside and allow your word to transform me into your image? Do I love you enough? We talk about how God loves us, but what about us loving him? You know what I'm saying? What about us making that sacrifice to just be quiet and not have your way when you feel like you ought to? So God is with us, y'all, but he is also equipping us through this. We need the word of God. We need to learn the word of God. I'm pressing learning the word of God because, again, if you don't know, you can't do. The last one for that one, Isaiah 5:3. Therefore, my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. What does that say to you? Think about it. Therefore, my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. Talk to me, y'all. I can't hear you. But not knowing took them where? So what do I do in, what, describe to me what bondage is. Say it louder. That means over there in bondage, I have a master that rules over me. I have no will. I do what the master say. And so if we find this in any area of our life, you know what you're going to do with him? You're going to get out of captivity. And you're going to come over here and say, Lord, you know what? I missed it in that area real bad. I did, Lord, and I repent. Because even when you were pressing upon my heart, I did not listen. God, will you forgive me? Will you forgive me? And after you have forgiven me, I'm going to take myself to the word of God, and I'm going to humble myself and submit myself under what your words say, because I don't want to be in bondage. Why come to serve a God if you're in bondage to something else, if you don't want to be free. Now, if you want bondage, come to him. But let's not play the game. I want to be free in every area, and I'm inviting you into my life, Lord, that you can touch anything you want to touch to take me where you need me to go. And when you touch it, I'm going to pray that you help me not to snatch it back because it felt good to what I wanted to do. Help me. Help me to do what I'm supposed to do. Give me your knowledge. Number three. Miss Dee Dee, will you read number three for me, please? Can you read the, I know y'all can read, but can you read the definition there for me?
Understanding is the deeper comprehension of principles, discernment, and the ability to interpret situations correctly. The phrase, in all thy getting, yet understanding, stresses that no matter what you acquire, wealth, education, or possessions, true value lies in gaining insight and discernment. Proverbs 4:7 also emphasizes that wisdom is the most important pursuit, and in all your acquisitions, you should prioritize gaining understanding.
Any questions? Any input? Number four, we need the wisdom of God. Let me go step back. The wisdom of God in that number three is the principle thing. What does principle mean? I can't hear y'all. Did you say the main? She said the main thing. So if I'm in a situation and I don't stop or try to understand, because actually number four kind of ties into number three. If I don't understand, what do I need to do? But what else do I need to do? After I prayed, find out what the word says about it. Go to the word if it is anger. Go to the scriptures. Read about the scriptures. And if you don't know how to do that, certain Bibles now, I don't know if they all have them or not. Go and look up the word anger in a biblical definition. You want what the definition of what the scriptures say. Look it up. See what it is. Examine your own self. Lord, my behavior, this behavior, anger, can you help me get rid of it? Now, you won't get rid of it if you don't feel like anything wrong with it. If you don't have no conviction about it, you won't even try to get rid of it. If you don't see that you're wrong, you won't even try to find it. But you find knowledge. What does the scripture say? And then whatever the scripture say, you don't argue with it. Many, many years ago, I say 25 years ago, I was hot. I don't mean hot fanning. I was hot. I was angry. Listen, we're going to have prayer on this side of the room. We're going to have prayer on this side of the room. But I was angry. I was really, really, really angry. And that afternoon, you know, I was kind of by myself. And this is what came to me. This is all it said. It said, anger rests in the bosom of fools. That's what I said. I said, that ain't no scripture. I went to it, and that's what the word of God says. And so in that moment, I didn't have nobody to fuss with. I couldn't fuss with the word of God. I had better sense than to try. But I thought, wow. In other words, I think he was saying to me, Faye, it's time to deal with that. It's time to get rid of that. But I'm going to tell you where that would take you. if you don't deal with that. And so when the word came up in me, I had a choice. Are you going to keep doing what you're doing? Or are you going to listen to what I'm trying to tell you? And so I got all the scriptures that I could about anger. And I'm going to tell you something. It did not happen overnight. It did. The only way I knew it was working was when a situation came up that I had to deal with in that area. And in that moment, Faith, will you get upset or will you leave that alone? Will you brew over that or will you leave that alone? Will you release that situation or will you leave that alone? Which one will you do? In that position, I had a choice. See, I don't want to take the responsibility away from us from learning the Word of God and walking in the Word of God. And so we think we can skip to church and say, so our conscience feels good because we went to church today. You know what I'm saying? I'm not fussing at you. I'm telling you the truth, honey. I'm telling you what people didn't tell me when I got saved. I'm dealing with real areas in our life that we need to bring under the submission of God. And when we go, even when we have problems and we have situations, I'm going to say this again because this came up in me. We need to find people that give us godly counsel. That's how I know that you love me, because you tell me truth. And you tell me truth because I am a believer. I am not a fake brethren hiding out in the church. That's why you have a responsibility that if I come to you to tell me the truth, now you're going to tell me in a way that's loving, but that don't mean that people going to feel good, because we get our feelings mixed up sometime with what truth does. Truth don't always make us feel good, y'all. It prompts us, because he's trying to get us on the path that he is our light. He is our way. The scripture I think one of us read was, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. If you want the way, if you want the truth, if you want the life, then you have to follow what his word says. Me and John have been married we'll be 49 years. We have been married for 49 years because John treats me well. I'm being honest with you. We have been married because John is good to me. But if he wasn't, that would be a different story, a different time, and a different era. And I'm making a point that when God loves us, he doesn't abuse us. He does everything he can. He does everything he can to keep that relationship good between us. But that doesn't mean that in those times that John hasn't said some hard things. That doesn't mean we haven't faced the hard places. But when we did, and even when we didn't agree, then God's word was our final authority. I'm not telling you it was easy. I'm telling you we made it. And that's what I'm saying, that God has hooked up with us, is that he is not going to leave us nor forsake us. He is with us. He is committed to us. We need to get our minds to the place where we are committed to him. And when we do that, you don't have to worry about fighting with the enemy. You don't have to worry about this and that, because you already made your decision. We've already made our decision. When me and John got married, this is what I said to him. I said, me and you can walk through anything. You ain't got no money, we're good. I said, but let me tell you what I won't tolerate. I ain't tolerating other women. Ain't gonna happen here. So people say, but you got to forgive. You got to stay with me. I put the ball in that court. I told you that ball's in that left corner. That's what I do. If you choose to overstep the bounds, that is your choice, and you get the responsibility of your choice. What makes say you got to forgive me? Oh, I can forgive him. You are forgiven. That means you have no more bondage on my heart. Now, I'm just using marriage. I'll use other things. But that doesn't mean I have to tolerate. Don't y'all ever, I don't know who this is for, but don't you ever allow people to be in your life in any kind of relationship and they abuse you. That is not the heart of God. In no way, shape, or form, in the dark, in the light, in the dim, that is not God's heart. He loves us. He created his humanity over the situation of me being married or me being single. You have to respect God made you for his purpose and his glory. I don't know who that's for, but I know that you in here. Okay, so, number four. We need the wisdom of God. My bell hadn't went off, did it?
Yes.
My bell went off. It did. Oh, I'm sorry, y'all. Okay. Let this be the... Okay, I get in trouble. Listen, next Sunday, we're going to start at number four. Now, number four and three is kind of the same people because I got to stop. I don't want to get in no trouble. And then we're going to talk about... Hopefully, we'll get to talk about the last part, and that's the process of spiritual growth. Father, I thank you this morning for my class. I thank you, Lord, for your spirit being here. I thank you, Father, for everybody that is in here. And Lord, I just ask you, God, that you will continue to give us your understanding, give us your wisdom, and teach us, God, how to walk in the love of God. Not an opinion of what somebody said the love is. Let us find out what your love is, God, and to walk in that so that our lives will be better. And Father, I ask you, God, that you will protect and watch over everybody that is here. And Lord, give us a mind, a heart, and to worship and to glorify you in just a couple of minutes. Now, Lord, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, we're gonna ban that Mike Duncan from this class. If he don't be good.